Snap Studios.
I snatched the fairy from the sky and waited for to hear him cry. Instead, he whispered deep and low that I do best to let him go. You're listening to Spooked. Stay tuned.
Snap Judgment is brought to you by Progressive, where customers who save by switching their home and car save nearly $800 on average. Quote at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $793 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2021 and May 2022. Potential savings will vary. Support for Snap Judgment presents Spooked comes from Odoo. Tired of relying on disconnected software to manage your business? Then you need Odoo. Odoo is an all-in-one management platform with a suite of user-friendly applications designed to simplify and connect every aspect of your company in one easy-to-use software, so you can get more done in less time. To learn more, visit odoo.com/spooked. That's odoo.com/spooked. Odoo, because amazing employees deserve amazing software.
From KQED and PRX, you've crossed over to Spooked. I have a bottle of homemade hot sauce in my refrigerator that someone made for me. The hand-drawn label reads For Glenn, and I love this hot sauce. It kicks. Spicy, sweet, delicious, a finishing hit of curry makes everything taste better. Throw a couple dashes on some fried eggs, watch out! But I'm savoring the very last dregs of the bottle. I will miss it. And I can't get any more, because I can't recall who gave it to me. Such a personal, thoughtful, handmade gift, and I have no idea where it came from. I've always had a problem remembering basic things, people, events, stories of my own life, because I grew accustomed to outsourcing all the recollecting to my brother. His amazing ability to recall the most minute details from events 2-3 decades past, who stood where, who said what, who burnt the hot dogs, and who ate up all the potato salad. His telling became the official register of my own life, the places I've been. He'd been right there too. Things I've done, relationships I've had, and now, with him gone, I didn't just lose my brother. I lost my story. Our stories. And what's crazy is it's not the big stuff that has me reflexively dialing for his number a few hours ago, before my brain fog cleared this morning, before the sadness. I actually reached for the phone, fixing to ask him something completely stupid. Bruh. Who gave me this bottle of hot sauce?
Now.
fades. We think they're gone. We grow to accept the idea that one side can't affect the other. Well, Angie's strong. Angie's a new mom with a kid entering kindergarten, and her family's outgrown their current home. Spooked.
My husband Billy and our son Chase, we were looking to move. We wanted our son to be in a really good school district. Our whole family had been looking around the area to see what houses came up for sale. We got lucky just at one moment when my father-in-law called and said he knew that one was available that we'd really like. And it had been in my husband's family for, this would be the third generation.
He said, it's our great-grandparents. And I said, well, which one is it? He said, it's the one down where you and I used to go hunting down in the fields out here. And I said, oh, I remember that. I used to come here as a kid. My great-grandparents always had, like, trinkets and things that they just didn't want me to touch. There was a turkey in there that was mounted on top of the mantle in the living room. You want to pull it down and look at it, but they would just flip out if you did, you know? My dad said, how would you like to live there? I said, oh, I'd love to. And he said, well, good thing, because it's up for sale. So if you want it, we got to call him and get on it right away.
Within the family, it's called the Miller House. It's because Billy's great-grandparents were the Millers. We loved that it was in the school district we wanted to be in. We loved the family history behind it, and we bought the house. The first day we saw the house, we pulled in. It was a long driveway. It was a federal-style brick house, two huge columns out front. It was on a corner, and it had a very large lot behind it and then a farm behind that. It still had that wood trim, wood doors, the original brass light fixtures, glass doorknobs on all the doors. My husband and I were happy about that because we like a house with a little character. It had that antique feeling, but also a bright feeling because of all the windows that were in the house. Chase, he was 5, and he ran up and down the stairs and in and out of the bedrooms and asked which bedroom would be his. He was very excited about it. There were some things we were going to need to do right away before we moved in. The bathroom was hideous. It was green and pink, one pedestal sink. It was terrible, and we knew it wouldn't work for us. So we wanted to renovate the bathroom. We wanted to get the hardwood floors redone. We wanted to put carpet in the bedroom.
My friend Charlie, he told me he would work with me in the morning and early afternoon. So one day it was raining and overcast, dreary, and I stopped to help him. He was upstairs here in the bathroom doing some tile. He said, how long have you been here? I said, about 10 minutes. And he said, well, that's funny. I've been talking to you for the last 25 minutes. He said, it felt like you were standing right behind me as I was working in the bathroom. I said, wasn't me. He said, well, I was talking to somebody standing here at the doorway. But he's like that. He's a little eccentric. The same day, we had a guy upstairs doing carpet. Charlie and I had went to Home Depot to get some plumbing supplies. We came back, and the carpet guy was sitting outside on the porch, white as a ghost. I said, what's wrong? He said he could feel a presence behind him as he was working. He said, "Every time I do something, I feel like somebody's watching me. It sounded like somebody was walking up the steps and then standing right at the doorway." He kept turning around saying, "Bill, Bill, are you there?" And we weren't here. He didn't want to come back in until we got back. I assured him everything was okay. But after I heard that, I paid more attention. I would try to listen for things, almost expecting it to happen, but it never did.
Billy and I and Chase and our dog, it's our first week in the house. The neighbor across the street had free kittens, so we ended up with a free kitten as well. We're getting ready for bed one night, and we always sleep with the door open so we can hear Chase across the hall. We know he's still nervous about being in a new house. I'm falling asleep, and I hear this loud bang come from the kitchen. It sounds like someone took a frying pan and slammed it onto the stove, like bang. It's so loud it echoes up the stairs. It has me alert instantly. And I'm thinking, what is that? And then it sounded like someone took a baking dish and bang, just slammed it on the counter. It was just those two large bangs, and that was it. For a moment, I thought, maybe it's just in my head. But the cat sat up in our bed and looked down the stairs, and I thought, she heard it. That's not just me. I know that's not just in my head. I felt completely frozen with fear. I just couldn't get out of bed. I just laid there till I felt that feeling pass. I got up. I ran through the hall to my son's room. I checked on him. He's fast asleep. I climbed back in bed. I tried to wake Billy, but he's a heavy sleeper. He heard nothing. So I just laid there and listened for it. I fell asleep and didn't hear it as I was sleeping, but I was terrified.
Spooksters, what's scarier than consuming your life sustenance through a drive-thru? Do better, because you can get chef-prepared meals on the table in just 2 minutes with Factor's ready-to-eat meals. And if you want to put the gourmet into your weekday, do what I do. Try Factor's meals featuring premium ingredients like filet mignon, truffle butter, broccolini, and asparagus ready to go. Healthy and delicious at the same time. No fuss, no mess meals, because Factor eliminates the hassle of prepping, cooking, cleaning up. Simply heat and savor the good stuff. Tailor to your schedule, pause or reschedule deliveries to suit your lifestyle. So skip the drive-thru. Head to factormeals.com/spook50 and use code spook50 to get 50% off. That's code spook50 at factormeals.com/spook50 to get 50% off. The show is sponsored by BetterHelp. And we all carry around different stressors, big and small. And we keep them bottled up. It can start to affect us in ways we don't expect. How we treat our family, our friends. And if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/Glenn today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/GLYNN.
In the morning, there was nothing out of place. Nothing was moved. I told Billy what I heard. And he kind of shrugged me off, like, really? I was like, yes, the cat heard it too. He just was like, it was just a noise. It's fine. Chase is fine. You're fine. We're okay. Just let it be a noise and let's move on. Billy wasn't home very often. He was working third shift for a shipping company, and I'm home alone most of the time. I'm scared at night, so I'm keeping the TV on at a volume that's a little louder, and I'm just trying to make myself feel safe. I'd hear a sound, and I'd call him at work and say, "What do you think this is?" And he'd say, "That's the sound raccoons make, Angie, or that's a squirrel jumping on the tin roof." Any sound that I heard, he had an answer for it, and that made me feel a little more secure.
I don't like leaving Harry and Chase here by themselves at night. Most of the time I'll say, well, it must have been the dog or it must have been the cat. I try to take her mind off it the best I can.
We've been living in the house about a month. It's between 4:30 and 5 o'clock. Chase and I were home. We're sitting in the living room, watching television, waiting for Billy to get home from work. And all of a sudden, I hear the screen door open. I hear the large wooden door open. And I hear the screen door slam behind him. Chase yells, "Daddy's home! Daddy's home!" And I yell, "Billy, we're in the living room." And there's no response. I'm waiting, and there's no Billy. He's not coming into the living room. So I get up and I walk to our main door to see where he is. He's not there. And I look out into the driveway and his car's not there. He's not even home. That was the first time that it happened. And then it continued to happen almost at the same exact time every other day. I decided I was going to talk to Billy about the sounds I was hearing. I felt like I had proof to tell him that I heard more than one thing, and he couldn't just tell me, "Oh, you're just hearing things." One evening, Billy came home from work, and I was making dinner in the kitchen. And I said to him, "You know, today, Chase and I thought we heard you come home earlier around 4:30, 5 o'clock, and you weren't here. Was really strange, but we both thought we heard you open the door." Isn't that odd that we heard that sound? And he goes, "Yeah, that is strange. I think I should tell you what I heard from Charlie, our friend that did the bathroom, and something the carpet guy mentioned to me before he moved in." I was just like, "You are kidding me. Should we be scared? Like, do we need to worry?" I had grown up with a mother who was very into supernatural things. I wasn't a big believer, but I didn't deny it either. I thought there might be a ghost. At this point, it had just been noises, but I'd heard stories of other people where things have escalated. And in my mind, I think of the worst case scenario. And I worried about my son, most of all. From that point forward, I made Billy promise me that he would tell me when something happened.
I get up around 1 a.m. to get dressed to get ready to go to work. So I walk downstairs. I'm getting dressed and sitting on the ottoman to put my boots on. I looked up at the clock to see what time it was, and I seen like this mist, like kind of go by like a cloud. It was there and it just kind of slowly moved. And once my eyes focused, it was gone that fast. Either I'm tired or I literally just seen something float by me, in front of me. And I just continued to put my boots on and walked out to the kitchen to get my lunch bag. But I walked back into the living room and like waited and looked around a minute. I didn't see anything. all night at work. The whole time I'm thinking about this, like, what the hell was that? I've never seen anything like that.
After he told me that, I didn't know if I was going to turn a corner and something would be there, or if I was going to be pushed down the steps. I felt very nervous in the house. Early one morning, I woke up to Chase screaming at me, "Mom, Mom, the dog ran away, the dog ran away." I'm waking up and I'm saying, what do you mean the dog ran away? And he said, "I let Thor out to pee and he just ran away." And I went to go chase him and the man stopped me and said, "You go in that house and wake up your mom. Don't come outside. Go get your mom." I'm saying, "What man?" He's like, "I don't know, the man in the green suit. He yelled at me and he said, 'You go in your house and wake your mom.'" We don't know any of the neighbors. There's a field behind us. I don't know who could have been here. And Chase getting hit by a car or the dog getting hit by a car was a real fear that I had. So I'm in a panic. I call Billy. I tell him what happened.
She had called me and she's freaking out. And I'm like, "What is going on?" So I tell my dad, I said, "Look, I got to run home, figure out what the hell's going on here. I'll come back." So I leave the job site, come home, and talk to her right away.
We each took separate cars and just started driving through the neighborhood. We spend hours looking for the dog. We couldn't find him. We came back to the house talking about our next step. We were sitting outside trying to figure out, who do we call? What do we do? And just like that, he comes walking down the street like he owned the neighborhood to the stop sign, walked across the street. We yelled for him, and he looked up at us like, "Hey, guys." And he ran up into the yard, and that was it. He was home. And we all kind of took a breath, went in the house, and said, "Okay, now what happened? Chase, let's start from the beginning." So that's when he started talking about the guy in the green suit yelling at him. Chase said he walked out on the porch to go down the steps and the man stopped him, like, right there. He said, "You don't leave this house. Go get your mom." We just couldn't figure out who this man could possibly have been, because he would have had to have gotten there fairly quickly. Where would he come from? We don't know any of the neighbors except the people across the street that we got the cat from, but they're too far up the street. There's just no way it was them. We had called Billy's parents and we were telling them a story about what happened. Billy's mom said, "You know who always wore a green suit? Billy's great-grandfather. He always wore that green automotive jumpsuit all the time." And then it was like a light bulb went off to Billy. He said, "I think we have some photo albums that have some old pictures of the house when it was built, and my great-grandfather's in those pictures." He's like, "Let's go back and look." He went and dug them out. We went through and looked at him. And he said, "Chase, do you know any of these people?" When he saw Billy's great-grandfather, he said, "That's the man in the green suit who yelled at me." And we're like, "Are you sure?" He said, "Yep, that's the man that yelled at me."
My great-great-grandparents have been, you know, lived here pretty much all their lives. My great-grandpa worked outside in the garage on school bus, local cars, things like that. He was a mechanic. That's all he would wear, is those grimy, like, faded Dickies. They were full of holes and dirt, but he would never throw them away. He always had them on. He was always a protector, really. Like, "Don't do this, don't do that." Would always keep, you know, a pretty close eye on me when I was down here with my dad. Because there was always, like, junk cars and stuff around. He wanted to make sure I didn't, you know, get cut or wasn't doing anything I wasn't supposed to be doing.
They were very traditional in supper is at 5 and then bedtime is at 9. You know, they were very like clockwork. So the fact that that door sound happened always the same time of the day, that made us feel like it was someone like coming home from work. It just felt like a confirmation that this was Billy's great-grandfather just hanging around this house, making sure things were good.
I was never really introduced to spirits or anything like that because I was never exposed to it. But then the more I had thought about it, felt kind of safe because he was telling Chase, don't cross the street, go in the house and wake up your mommy right away. I felt it was a good thing.
We were given the wedding photo of Billy's great-grandmother and great-grandfather.
It was one of those old photos that looked like oil was on the photo. You know what I mean?
And we actually hung it up in the foyer. Like, it needed to be there.
And I'm thinking, oh, geez. I don't know if I want anybody talking to me, you know? Because I still was a little unsure about it. But, like, it makes me feel better in my mind knowing that it's my family that's still here because, you know, they want to make sure we're okay.
I just felt this calm come over me, and I have not felt scared since then. I walked to the foyer, and I was just like, thank you so much for saving your great-great-grandson. I hoped he could hear me. I was just so grateful.
Failing for sharing her story. Angie is a Spook listener and she reached out to tell us her tale. If you have a story, make sure that you drop us a line as well. Spooked, snapjudgment.org. The original score for that piece was by Doug Stewart. It was produced by Chris Hamburg. Incredible people, incredible stories, journeys, explorations, sojourns. We have all traveled from one place to the other by foot, by car, by plane. But some people, they claim they don't have to take a single step to complete a long journey. That they can send some aspect of themselves anywhere they wish to travel while the body stays put. If you yourself are capable of this feat, or if you know someone who is, yes, I want to know about it. I want to know all about it. I promise to only tell the most engaged, passionate community of seekers in the land. Please send us a note, spooked@snapjudgment.org, because there's nothing better than a spook story from a spook listener. spooked@snapjudgment.org. And remember, if you like your storytelling under the bright light of day, get the amazing, stupendous sister podcast, Snap Judgment. It is story time with a beat. Spooks is brought to you by the team that listens intently to the whispers. Except, of course, for Mark Ristich. He always, always runs away as fast as his legs will carry him. There's David Kim, Chris Hamrick, Leon Morimoto, Teo DeCott, Marissa Dodge, Zoe Ferrigno, Ann Ford, Eric Yanez, Cody Harjo, Lola Abrera, Miles Lassie, Yari Bundy, Doug Stewart. The Spook theme song is by Pat Machidi Miller. My name is Glenn Washington. It's important to understand that when we pierce the Shadowland seeking knowledge, the knowledge does not come without cost. The more we touch the mystery, the more the mystery touches us. It changes us. It alters us. It twists us. This path, this knowing, makes the knower a target. A
beacon for the shadow. The breadcrumbs we leave in the dark forest leave right back here. And yes, you have to ask yourself, is it worth it? If not, turn back. Go no further. Forget everything you've heard and everything you know. Be well. But the shadow's gaze is a price you're willing to pay, a price that you need to pay. Enlist one of the few protections you have available, and remember to never, ever, never, ever, never, ever, never turn out the lights.
This story was summoned in the dark of night by KQED and PRX.